com.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Could the United States be accused of foreign interference or foreign election meddling? In a society that screams inclusivity and acceptance at every opportunity, how can the hatred of any people group become so embraced? Well, here's what we do know. If the latest report is true, the Jews should be embracing evangelical Christians like their life depends on it. But does it? Lots of questions and hopefully lots of answers as we explore the signs of the times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, March 22nd, 2024. In a world that tries to control you, we want to give you back some of that control. That's why you can always get Signs of the Times on your time. You can listen or watch previous episodes whenever you want, a variety of ways to subscribe to our podcast, or just keep everything in one place when you use the Way Media app. That's where you can read the articles we talk about and where you can send Pastor Mark a prophecy question. And if you don't want to use the app, that's okay too. You can always go to thewaymedia.net and do the same thing right from your browser. And now, here to remind us that there are over 2,800 billionaires in this world, and not one of them decided to become Batman, is Pastor Mark, who subscribed to get a deal on memory supplements, and then he forgot to cancel.
You know what? If that wasn't so true, it wouldn't be funny. It would be funny. You know, I for sometimes think I forget more than I remember at this point, Greg.
I know. That's why there's a little bit of truth in our jokes as we get older.
Yes, that's right. That's for all the older people out there. And
that's right.
If you don't remember what we said, you can go back and listen later.
That's right. That's why we record it, so we can remember what we said.
Right.
Okay, before we get into articles, you wanted to talk about something that happened here this past Tuesday at our city council meeting here in Knoxville, Tennessee, and also something that's going to be happening tomorrow here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And they're connected.
Yeah, I want to give an update. You know, some people may not even realize what's happening, but there's this nationwide push that's happening in certain cities around the nation, and it's not coming from the local cities. This is coming from outside. Somebody's doing this either from Washington or from other places. They're organizing.
Dearborn, Michigan.
Yeah, they're organizing these city councils. Someone on the council, if they have a friend, I guess, to bring up these resolutions trying to condemn Israel for one thing or another. And so it seems to be on a national scale. I know they did this and actually approved it in one of the cities in North Carolina a couple of weeks ago. And about 3 months ago, they tried to approve something here condemning Israel for defending themselves. And when Hamas came over and murdered over 1,200 of their people over just a few hours, the rape and all the murder. We know what happened. They're trying to condemn Israel for defending themselves by going back and trying to take out Hamas. And now they did it again here just recently, this last week. And of course, they're using inflated numbers of what has happened. You know, look, our heart breaks. I want to say this because it brings up things. You know, the enemy's very good at painting a picture that's not accurate. There have been and will be in every war civilian casualties. And that's heartbreaking. No one wants that. It's devastating, but it's called war. And in war, innocent people die. And any civilian deaths that have happened, I blame and put squarely on the shoulders of Hamas. Hamas is the one that did this. Hamas is the one that attacked the nation of Israel. Israel didn't go into Gaza and kill their people, 1,200 people, and rape their women and put their children in ovens. No, they came across the border and did that to Israel. So Israel is basically saying, look, we're going after the bad guys, Hamas. They did this. We're going to go take them out and clean out Gaza of Hamas. Now, the only way to do that, the same way we did it when we went to take ISIS out, in Afghanistan, the whole region, there were no doubt large numbers of civilians that died, but you didn't see it you know, printed on the news and everybody talking about it. In World War One, World War Two, every war now, you know, people don't say this many civilians, whatever. And it breaks everyone's heart. It's sad. I wish you could have a war to just get the bad guy and nobody that's a good guy ever die. But it's just not reality. So what the enemy does is he grabs on the fact that there are going to be some civilians when you go in to get the bad guy that suffer. And they're inflating them. They've got these large numbers of somehow they say over 30,000 and well, whatever. But these numbers are coming from, let me get this, the numbers are coming from Hamas, the ones who did this in the first place. Can we believe what they're saying when they're the ones that did it? Well, no. So with that said, they're using the emotional side of things to talk about that without realizing the realities of the world we live in, the reality of war, and to know that even as we were going in to get ISIS and that was it, they're going in just to get Hamas. The problem is they're putting all of their, they put all their weapons and their soldiers around civilians. You know, it's Israel uses rockets to protect their civilians and Hamas uses civilians to protect their rockets. So it's the exact opposite. So if you try to go take out their batteries or wherever they are, they put it around civilians. And they use the whole thing about famine. Hamas has been on film. They've been getting all the shipments coming in, capturing the shipments of food, and they're going and taking them, putting them in warehouses and locking them away from the people.
There you go.
So then what they do is they lock all the food away from the people that's being sent in. There's plenty of food in there. They lock it all away, and then they say, look, we're all starving. Well, you know, the pictures coming out of Gaza shows there's still plenty of food there in the streets. And they're using these false pictures like from Syria back when Assad tried to starve out his people and all that. So a lot of these are provable false pictures, you know. But again, the enemy is great at using lies and false things or whatever. So the things you're hearing aren't true, but they're intended to play on your emotions. Okay.
Right.
Now, with that said, there's this at least a state to state, maybe nationwide push to go in, use the emotional angle that's not accurate and try to pass these resolutions to condemn the nation of Israel and the Jews. And it's just false. And so we stood against it, and you know it was put down 3 months ago. We stood it against the last time here this last week or whatever, and we had a good chunk of our people show up and stand against it, which is quite the blessing. And once again, the city council shot it down. They didn't even get a second to move the motion forward. But at the same time, understand, you know, Hamas never stops. I mean, this spiritual thing against God never stops. And so what you've got going on is now they're going to continue this. It's going to continue. And now this Saturday at 3:30, they have another big rally they're putting out there. They want, you know, the people that support, you know, Hamas or whatever to gather down there in Market Square, et cetera. And so I just want our listeners to be aware of it. Look, I'm not encouraging anybody to go down there. As I think about this, it might be a mistake actually on this one. I think for city council, that was good to gather the people. I think on this one, it's better that everybody maybe stays home and prays. And here's why. Simply because it's going to be contentious. And I think that if people go down there, you don't want it to be a us versus them and this and that and something get ugly. So I would say I only let you know that it's happening Saturday so you can pray. Again, my encouragement would be not to go down there, so that it doesn't turn into something and create a situation. I think if anything, we need to be bringing kind of peace to the city and as they say, what is the word? Not deinflating, but something.
De-escalate.
Thank you. De-escalate. We need to be those who are de-escalating and not escalating. And I think that if you were to get like a huge crowd and go down there, it may just throw fire, gas on the fire and not good.
Yeah.
So I would say on this one, I'd probably ride it out and stay home. But at the same time, I would pray. And look, there may be some that disagree with me out there, and there may be some in the Jewish community whom we love dearly who may show up, and I'm not condemning that. I'm not saying that's wrong, okay? Again, I'm saying when I look at what's happening, I think it's going to be contentious. I think it's going to be emotional, and I think, you know, the best in those kind of situations, stay away. Don't add to the fire. But the reason I want you to be aware, I want to say it again, so that you can be praying. Pray for God to just reveal what it really is, and have our city stand together and say, look, we don't want any part of this in our city. This is causing division. It's causing problems, and we want to be a city united, a city based on just, you know, peace, and we don't want this kind of thing here.
Yeah. You know, and even for those people that might feel compelled to go down to Market Square tomorrow, you need to be prayed up. You need to remember what Ephesians 6:12 says, yeah. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So this cannot, nothing good here can be accomplished in the flesh.
Right.
But you've got to be walking in the spirit if you're going to be in the midst of that situation, because the enemy knows you and knows that he's going to do whatever he can to press your buttons to get you in a horizontal battle,
yeah.
When you've got to stay in a vertical battle. And so that would just be my caution. If you do feel compelled, maybe it is of the Lord, but then that means that you are going to be prayed. You might even be fasting.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Well, and again, yeah. I would say if you do go, that'd be stay back away.
Yeah.
Stay far away. Don't add fuel to the fire and just pray.
Yeah.
Just pray. I don't even know. I don't even know if it's a time, and I hope this isn't taken wrong by saying this. I don't even know if it's a time to go down there and wave a bunch of Israeli flags. I love that, and I want that. But I think I think if it's an Israeli rally, you know, that's great. But my concern is that it's going to just cause contention and fighting and could get ugly. So again, if anything, if you're going to go down there, be praying or whatever the case might be, and just asking God to kind of, you know, deal with that and expose it. Let the city see, you know, kind of what's going on that end of things. So that it's not contentious, and again, not adding fuel to the fire. Just want everybody to be aware, yeah. Be praying about that. Just, you know, church, be praying about that, and be praying for the Jewish community, because I know they're coming under a lot of pressure and a lot of attack. And I also want to, Greg, before we move on to the articles,
sure.
To make everybody aware of what's coming up here at Calvary Chapel,
okay.
Over the next few weeks. I mean, again, we of course have Palm Sunday this Sunday and then Easter next week, and expecting, you know, large crowds then. But then the week after that, we're going to be having Amir Sarfati is going to be here. He's going to be live on the screens. He's not going to be here live in person, but it'll be live on the screens on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning. And we're going to be there having an interview or a teaching. We'll determine what that is here when we get there a little bit closer. And then we're going to replay that again Saturday night and Sunday morning. So excited about that. And then also the week following that will be Jack Hibbs will be here. Actually, Lisa, his wife, will be leading up doing a women's conference for our women on that Friday and Saturday. And then Jack Hibbs will be teaching here at Calvary on that Saturday night and Sunday morning, both services as well on the 13th and 14th of April. So we have a very busy and exciting month ahead. Just be praying for us. And I wanted our listeners to be aware. Some of you that may want to come on Saturday night because you don't want to miss your normal Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I think it's good to know that's available.
And for those people that are outside the walls of our church, we'll also take Amir Sefardi's conversation with Pastor Mark and make that into a Signs of the Times podcast, and we'll post that on the Signs of the Times side so our Signs of the Times listeners can get that as well.
Yeah, and actually we'll have, I guess I should be saying, that Friday, that weekend of the April 13th to 14th, we'll have Pastor Jack here in studio live, and I'll be interviewing him. He's got a new book out. I'm going to find out how he's doing and what's going on with him. That'll happen here coming up in April with him in studio live. So it's going to be a great month coming up.
Yeah. All right, as we head over to the Holy Land in our news articles this week for episode 303, we come to the Times of Israel. This article dated March 12th. A very senior Israeli official accuses the United States government of seeking to oust Netanyahu. Now, we talked about this last week, I believe, if not the week before. So this is just further corroboration of what we know is going on in our own government.
Well, it's still going on and building steam is what we need to recognize here, Greg. And that is this very senior official, Israeli official, hit back on Tuesday at the U.S. intelligence report published overnight that warned the viability of Prime Minister Netanyahu's government may be in jeopardy amid criticism over the management of the war against Hamas terror group in Gaza. Those who elect the Prime Minister of Israel are the citizens of Israel and no one else, said the official in a statement issued to the media, interpreting the intelligence report as an effort to unseat Netanyahu. It is an assessment of Israel, the U.S. wrote. Distrust of Netanyahu's ability to rule has deepened and broadened across the public from its already high levels before the war, and we expect large protests demanding his resignation and new elections. A different, more moderate government is possible, or what are government possibility. This is nonsense. Let me just dispel this. The Israeli people are overwhelmingly behind Netanyahu. It's not even close. He is extremely supported right now. Now, certainly there are some people that wish he would not be there, that want to vote their candidate in, and the elections will do that later on. But right now, the nation is, don't mistake this, they are unified as one right now. There's a very, very small percentage that are not standing with what Netanyahu and the government are doing right now. Even if they don't like Netanyahu and the current government, Greg, they're standing with them because they realize this is a situation of national survival. so the nation stands behind the president or behind the prime minister. And so for our officials to do that, and of course, what Chuck Schumer did, we talked about, and the President Biden
backed it up. We haven't talked about that yet.
Oh, I thought we did from when we covered it last time.
No, it's coming up.
See, I cover so many articles and read so much news. Sometimes I forget.
I will guide you.
All right, okay, thank you very much. anyway, I have my media guide right there on the other side. Anyway, but the bottom line is that, look, don't believe this stuff. That's just propaganda coming out of our own government. Israel stands right now unified, probably more unified than they've been in I know, in many, many, many years. And Greg, in some ways, I wonder about even almost going back to the time they were established as a nation or other wars. They're just as unified as any time they've been in war because they realize it's for their national survival.
You know, the last time our country had that kind of unification was right after 9/11.
It's the same kind of thing.
Same kind of thing, yeah.
Look, even at 9/11, you had Republicans and Democrats standing together, singing together on the steps of the,
the Capitol.
Of the Capitol, yeah. You know, and so, again, you look at when's the last time Republicans and Democrats stood and sang together, I mean, or did anything in unification. It's when you realize there's a threat to your nation, your family, your people. And that's why right now this has been so devastating to the nation of Israel. They are standing together, unified behind Netanyahu. So don't believe any of these reports otherwise.
Yeah. All right, our next article also comes from the Times of Israel, dated March 19th. This article also reflects Matthew 24 and Zechariah 12. It says, Netanyahu says he made clear to Biden, Rafah ground op is crucial to destroying Hamas.
Yeah, this is huge here. Let me talk about what it is before I read the article, because I want everyone to understand. Rafah is one of the last holdouts now in Gaza, where a lot of the Hamas leadership and Hamas terrorists, whom they're trying to specifically get, not civilians, but Hamas, they've run to Rafah. And so they're cornered there in Rafah. That's going to be the last, you know, they're crying the most and screaming the most. Even our government's trying to say, don't go in. Well, it's what it is it's the enemy knows that he's cornered and he's about to be taken out. And so they're screaming the loudest. And even our government is, you know, don't you go into Rafah. Biden's chastising him. You'll see in just a moment for that. Yeah. And they're saying, because they've got him cornered. Here's the bottom line. Israel has got to get rid of the terrorists. The terrorists of Hamas have to be dealt with. And so this is the back them in a corner, get them out of there, and then they can leave the rest of everyone else alone, and the people there, the Gazans, who we need to be praying for, they can be left alone and start reestablishing their lives, because that's what Israel wants. They don't want to destroy them or hurt them. They want to get Hamas. Yeah. So and the article says, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told a powerful Knesset committee on Tuesday that the IDF will go ahead with an expected ground operation in Rafah, and that he told U.S. President Joe Biden as much in their phone call yesterday. I quote, "We have a disagreement with the Americans about the need to enter Rafah," Netanyahu told the Foreign Ministries and Defense Committee, "not about the need to eliminate Hamas, the need to enter Rafah. We do not see a way to eliminate Hamas militarily without destroying those remaining battalions, and we are determined to do it." Now, notice this. During a phone call with Prime Minister on Monday, President Biden effectively ruled out any potential support for a major Israeli ground offensive in Rafah, standing against it, which abuts the Egyptian border in Gaza and the southernmost tip. And I quote, "A major ground operation there would be a mistake," he said. "It would lead to more innocent civilian deaths, worsen the already dire humanitarian crisis, deepen the anarchy in Gaza, and further isolate Israel internationally," U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said, not the president, Jake Sullivan, offering a readout on the 45-minute call. Now, here's the thing. Once again, let me say this. They need to finish the job. What if we had ISIS cornered and they said, look, we can't take ISIS out the rest of the way because there's some civilians around there? No, you know what we would have said? America would have said, I'm sorry, get the civilians out of the way, but we're going after ISIS. Okay? It'd be like saying in World War II, the Germans are cornered, but we can't go in to get a Hitler because there are civilians there. No, we've got to go in and get the bad guy. And again, the sad reality of war is there's going to be some civilian casualties. Nobody wants it. Nobody likes it. It's heartbreaking. But Greg, it's a reality. And so Israel is now more unified than ever. And this is what's a turning point. In the past, Israel has capitulated to the international pressure. And Israel has capitulated, especially to American pressure, not to finish something that needs to be done for the sake of the nation.
Yeah.
But they were so deeply damaged and hurt, and just, it was such an atrocity against the nation here on October 7th. They're saying, we don't care if we stand alone.
Yeah.
If the whole world goes against us, which is interesting, they make that comment, we're going in anyway. And Greg, what do we know? In the last days, it says the entire world will turn against Israel and they will stand alone, but they will not be alone because God's going to be with them. And when the world turns on them, God's going to intervene and wipe out their enemies and rescue the nation of Israel. So amazing to see this happening.
Yeah, the United States is really calling for Israel to employ the Saul doctrine.
Yes.
Yeah. Just go ahead and leave some Amalekites. It's okay.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's really, I mean,
you're right.
They're being instructed to totally eradicate the enemy.
The terrorists.
The terrorists.
Hamas.
In this case. And the United States is saying, leave some of the terrorists. Leave some of those Amalekites, Saul. Yes. It's okay.
And let me just say, and when we talk about separating out Hamas from just the normal civilians.
Well, and Hamas means violence, by the way. We need to emphasize that. This is not a group of peaceful people.
Yes, these are terrorists.
Yes.
They're going after terrorists. Look, the people of Gaza who are not terrorists, Israel's not against them. And certainly we're not as a nation. And listen, my heart breaks. We're getting some good news about people coming to Christ in there, some Gazans that are giving their life to the Lord. So God is working. And I want to encourage our listeners, be praying for the people of Gaza. God loves the people of Gaza. Jesus died for the people of Gaza. We want to see the people of Gaza rescued and Jesus Christ, saving their souls. But we want to see Hamas and the radical, those radical terrorists that want to just kill and destroy, they need to be dealt with. And so that's where the difference comes in. And we're making a mistake, is putting pressure on them not to get rid of the bad guys. Mm-mm. No, you've got to get rid of the bad guys so the good guys can live in peace.
Amen.
On the boats and on the planes.
All right, let's come back to America for a couple of articles here. Our first one comes from Newsmax.com, dated March 15th. This is Biden backs Schumer after the senator calls for new elections in Israel.
Yeah.
Who are we to tell another country again what to do?
Well, they're going to make that comment. And I honestly believe this came from the president to Senator Schumer to have him do it.
Gotcha.
Because it seems more powerful in their mind coming from a fellow Jew. And I just see this as a betrayal.
Look at that.
In the scripture, you've got Doeg.
Yes.
Who betrayed David.
David.
And betrayed the nation. I see
Doeg the Edomite.
Senator Schumer is betraying his own people and his own nation. And I'm not saying anything disrespectful about him. I'm stating a fact.
Yep.
I honor the position of a senator and everyone else, but I'm saying as a fact, he's betraying his own nation here by declaring this. And I believe what happened was it was something where they're saying the president's agreeing with it, which is the same thing. But it wouldn't surprise me if the president maybe kind of, called him up and said, look, I've been talking to Netanyahu. He won't stop this incursion in Rafah. We're having a hard time. If you come out as a Jew and you say, you know what, this has got to stop. We need new leadership, that it won't look like I'm going against him, but then we can still get the same thing done. And so I don't know. I can't say for sure what happened, but I mean, it either way, they both are in agreement. So here's the bottom line. They're both in agreement about this, and it's wrong for both. President Joe Biden expressed support Friday for Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer after the senator called for new elections in Israel. The latest sign that the U.S. relationship with its closest Middle East ally is careening toward fracture over the war in Gaza. Schumer, a Jewish Democrat from New York, sent tremors through both countries when he said Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way and warned that Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah as Palestinian casualties continue to grow. And then here's what Biden says. He made a good speech, President Biden said, in the Oval Office during the meeting with Ireland's prime minister. I think he expressed serious concerns shared not only by him, but by many Americans. No, the majority of Americans stand with the nation of Israel. And there's another false statistic out there trying to say the majority of Americans don't. And Greg, you know what I think they're doing? I want to just real quick, because of this article, I'm going to pull this back into even these city council meetings that are happening in different places around the country. I believe personally the reason they're doing this is so that they can get these resolutions very sneakily passed, put them in there. Nobody really knows about it, so nobody objects. They go ahead and pass it, and they call for a ceasefire in Israel. And while they're saying ceasefire, they're also yelling genocide, right? And so what they can do then later on is they can go when it comes toward the elections here in November, and they can say, you know what? Look at this. We have 200 cities across America that have condemned Israel and called for ceasefire. When will the federal government take action to stop this? The American people have spoken. No. No, the American people have not spoken. A few city councils will have spoken because they snuck it through, and they're going to use it, I think, for political reasons. You look among the American people right now, overwhelmingly the American people support Israel, and they don't stand against them. So this is, again, a sneaky tactic, I believe, that's being used to further to push the federal government to put more pressure on Israel. And again, this is all spiritual. This is not, this is happening in the heavenlies. It's playing out among men. Remember, we don't battle against flesh and blood or Democrat or Republican or city council or mayors or governors. No, our battle is against powers and principalities in heavenly places, and that's what's going on.
Yeah. All right, our next article comes from All Israel News, dated March 18th. Washington has reportedly slowed down military deliveries to Israel amid their growing disagreement on the Gaza war.
Yeah, and this is interesting because, again, they've already threatened to start, they sanctioned, we saw last week, one of the companies that makes equipment for the military there in Israel. And now you see this come out. And so, Greg, again, you know, again, where they say where there's smoke, there's fire. And they're going to deny it here. But the reality is, I think they are trying to back off and pull away from supporting Israel, which is always a mistake. Again, remember, Genesis 12:3, and speaking of reference to Israel through Jacob, he says, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And it doesn't mean that we stand just carte blanche and, you know, if Israel does something very wrong, that we don't hold them accountable. No, anybody who does wrong, Israel or anybody else, they need to be held accountable. But this is an attempt to turn the world against the nation, and God tells us to stand with them. It says, the unverified report comes amid growing political disagreements between Washington and Jerusalem regarding the ongoing war in Gaza. While the United States supports Israel's goal of dismantling the terrorist organization Hamas, Washington has increasingly expressed concern about the growing humanitarian crisis in the Gaza Strip. Israel has a robust domestic military industry. However, it relies on U.S. deliveries of rockets and ammunition for its American-produced weapon systems. The unnamed Israeli official noted that the U.S. military deliveries, and I quote, were coming very fast following the Hamas October 7th invasion of southern Israel, when approximately 3,000 Hamas terrorists and their allies massacred at least 1,200 Israeli men, women, and children. However, the Israeli official stated, we are now finding that it's very slow. It's slowed down. It is unclear whether the current slowdown of American military deliveries to Israel is due to unintended bureaucracy or a deliberate political decision by the Biden administration. However, American officials denied any slowdown of military aid to Israel. So it looks suspicious, and we do know they've already stated they're trying to back off on supporting Israel. So, again, we need to be praying that our nation stays favorable to supporting Israel and defending themselves against terrorists, the terrorists of Hamas.
Absolutely. All right, well, that is Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the Signs of the Times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy and the world's news on WIAM LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will become podcast number 303, available to subscribe to and listen to through wherever you get your podcasts. And now,
you've got mail.
Pastor Mark, we've got three, count them, not one, not two, but three listener questions this week. Our first one comes from Vincent, enjoying Signs of the Times in San Bernardino, California, in Southern California, in the Inland Empire. His question is about the Lamb takes the scroll. He says in Revelation 5:2, it says that John saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals. When I've read that in the past, I've never tried to dig deep here. But after reading it again, it struck me as if one of the many small leftist minority groups yelling louder than the calm majority. And since he was louder, he made it seem like it was an impossible task, or trying to have the rest believe in the lie that he would be suggesting. My question is this. Is this possibly Satan, since at this point in time he has access to heaven? Or was this just theater for John's sake, who at first even fell victim to the lie that was being told by the loud angel?
Yeah, I think probably what you're making relation to, Vincent, is all the stuff we see going around now around the world with all the streets, the Palestinian protests in the streets and all that. And could this be happening in heaven? Not in this case here, Vincent. This is not, I think there's a misunderstanding here. And so this angel that's crying out is a holy angel. Just because he's loud does not mean it's wrong. This is a holy angel who's holding out the scroll to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It is the title deed to the earth, if you will. And what the angel is declaring is there's nobody who's worthy to take the scroll. And that's the thing. Nobody can buy the earth back. Nobody can pay for the sins of man. It's too late. And so John begins to weep because nobody can buy back the earth. And then the Lamb steps forward and takes the scroll and goes, yes, I can buy it back. I paid in my blood for it. So this is actually a holy angel, not Satan. It's a holy angel calling out the, you know, declaring, can anyone rescue? Jesus steps forward in that glory. It takes that and then, showing he can rescue the earth. So I hear, you know, I think the question when you see all this going on, I can see how you could be thinking that way, but you'll see that these are the holy angels that are carrying out the will of God in heaven during this time in Revelation.
Okay. All right, Pastor Mark, our next question comes from Laura. And she says, can you give, well, she's got two things. We'll just take this one at a time here. The first one is this. Can you give a reference to your discussion a couple of weeks ago on the red heifer, specifically about it needing to be from Israel?
Yes, I will further elaborate on that. I shared about what Amir was talking about. He didn't really think that we should get too hyped up about these red heifers because of Israel. And looking over it, all I can see is I'm not 100% sure where he's coming from on that. Maybe I can ask him that when we talk here soon.
That'd be a great question.
Yeah, but again, I think when you go back and read it, and it talks about the red heifer, it says, you, that is an Israeli in Israel, shall take a red heifer of this age. And my guess would be, I don't know for sure myself, right? But my guess would be where he's coming from, and from his perspective as a saved Israeli there in Israel, it's referring to the Jewish people taking a heifer from the Jewish fields at that time, and having the heifer. So I don't know for sure that's where he's coming from, but I think that's probably where he's coming from.
It just makes me think of the cedars of Lebanon. You know, a lot of times in scripture when they refer to material or things that are being used, especially when it comes to, like the building of the temple,
right,
things like that, the scripture is very specific where some of this stuff comes from.
Right.
And in this case, when it comes to the red heifer, it didn't say, and take a red heifer from the land of whatever.
Right.
It didn't refer to, so the assumption is, based on that it was silent about going outside of the land, that it must be in the land. Would that be a correct assumption?
I think that's okay. A correct assumption. And maybe we'll find out more details later. I'm sorry I can't answer it better for you, but I think that's probably where he's coming from.
Okay. All right, and then the second part.
Part. Yeah, don't, no, good. Yeah, I was going to make sure. Don't forget the second part.
The second part.
The next article.
And then she said, and did you guys see this article about the huge altar that was built? Any commentary? It's interesting to hear your thoughts on all things prophecy.
Yeah, I think right now, I think we had a little trouble verifying that that's even legitimate. It may be, but we're looking for more legitimate sites to prove that the altar is, that this is the legitimate article. First of all, let me say that, Laura.
It says opinion piece on there. It's not to denounce the site that you're looking at, Laura, but it's not necessarily what we consider a credible news source.
Yeah, we just need more info, and when we get more info, we'll comment on it. But with that said, look, even if they are building that altar, which I could believe, they're doing all the other implements for the temple. Yeah. I could believe they're building or have built an altar. I can believe that. But it'd be odd to me they would build it somewhere else and transport it. I would think they would build it up there. Maybe they would build it and transport it. But here's the thing, getting back to the question about the red heifer. The red heifer is not going to be offered on that altar anyway. The red heifer is to be burned on the Mount of Olives. And the way the Bible lays it out, it's to be on the Mount of Olives, and you're supposed to be able to see it from the door of the temple, through the Eastern Gate, on the Mount of Olives, et cetera, up there. They do have a couple of spots on the Mount of Olives. One that is right across from the Dome of the Rock, which again, the Jews believe today that's where the temple was, which I personally believe the temple was further over north. I could be wrong, but I think the new temple will definitely be further north, even if it was where the Dome of the Rock was. And it's interesting, over on the farther north where there's that big open area, which would be great to build a third temple, it's right where the ancient eastern gates are. And you can look straight out. If the temple was built there, Greg, you'd look straight out through those ancient eastern gates where they found the foundations underground. Archaeologically, we know that now. And right across from it, there's another piece of land that they own, that the Jewish people own, that you could also sacrifice the oxen on. So what will happen is the altar really has no play in this whatsoever. This will be a sacrifice that's going to be done on the Mount of Olives when it's done. Yeah. And I don't know if they bring an altar in, how that works. Maybe they do, but it wouldn't be something on the Temple Mount anyway.
But Scripture does not indicate that the sacrifice or the burning of the red heifer needs to be on an altar. It just specifies the location for which it needs to be performed.
I would have to go back and look. My guess is that it would be on an altar of some kind.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and look.
Okay.
But again, it's on the Mount of Olives, though.
Right.
So it's not up there on the Temple Mount. It's on the Mount of Olives where you burn that red heifer.
And I would think that everything that we've seen the Jews build and create, specifically when it comes to the temple, and it's based on God's instructions for those things, and even though the burning of the red heifer or the sacrifice of the red heifer wouldn't be on the temple, that picture that's in that article looked awfully industrial. That whatever that was supposed to be depicting an altar. It looked very industrial, did not look ornate at all. Yeah. It didn't look like it had any kind of Jewish design in it, if you will. So it just didn't look ceremonial.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll try to get more details on that because, you know, it'll come out.
It'll come out. All right, Pastor Mark, our last question comes from Will, enjoying Signs of the Times down in Huntsville, Alabama. And he says, in your last Signs of the Times episode, you state that we will receive, quote unquote, extra eternal reward by standing with Israel. Can you elaborate and further explain what you mean by this? There were also times where it seemed as if you stated there would be earthly financial reward for standing with Israel. I've heard your biblical context for the supposed financial reward and feel more context and proof is necessary for both, but especially the extra eternal reward.
Yeah, it's really all over the Bible, Will. I appreciate your question. The principle of this is all over Scripture. I've got several things here for you, and then I'll kind of share a few of those with you. But again, remember what Jesus said when they said, Lord, what are we going to get? We've left all to follow you. And he said, well, you're not only going to get reward in heaven, but you're going to get hundredfold here.
Yeah.
So there's your reference to getting material blessings here by leaving all to follow Christ. Again, I'm not promoting a health and wealth doctrine. Don't get me wrong. That's not what's happening here. But I mean, again, he's simply saying, you choose to follow me and leave everything behind. I'm going to bless you down here and I'll bless you in heaven. And so there's a reference for you in what he said to the disciples. But now, as far as overall, there's a biblical principle all throughout Scripture. And it starts with Genesis 12:3. Really, the only verse you need is Genesis 12:3, where he said, I will bless those who bless Israel and I will curse those who curse Israel. And so when you see the world turning against Israel and you stand with them, then God says, I'm going to bless you because of that. Well, that means reward. And I think that when you see the principle throughout Scripture, that would not only be reward now, even as he told his disciples, but reward eternally, as he also told his disciples. So the whole principle of that special blessing of reward standing with Israel, really, all you need is Genesis 12:3. That sums it up and kind of puts a bow on top. However, I think there are some additional opportunities for believers to gain blessings right now. We see when Jesus comes back, he's going to be giving special blessing to those who stood again with his brethren, if you will. They're in Matthew 25 when the sheep and the goats are separated. And again, most churches right now are not standing with Israel. There's only a small number of churches. The majority of churches really aren't in many ways. And what that means is they're missing out on that promise of blessing by standing with Israel. And so there's an extra special opportunity for those who do stand with Israel to get extra blessing. So that kind of sums it up there, but I want to give you some more, and kind of like those churches that really missed out during World War II. But I'm going to give you some more examples here. Again, biblical examples of special blessings received when people blessed Israel. You look at Exodus 1 verses 15 through 21. The Egyptian midwives refused to put to death the Israeli children because he said, kill them all and throw them in the river. They saved the Jewish babies. And so God said, because of that, he blessed their households in a special way. So they received a special blessing by standing with those who wanted to kill the Jews in their day. Then we see Joseph in Egypt. They gave him authority over all Egypt, and not only was Egypt blessed, but the known world was blessed simply because he was standing, he was a Jew that was standing with Israel. Jacob and Laban. Remember, Laban declared to Jacob, hey, I see that I'm blessed because of you. And so again, simply by him being involved in the situation, God was giving a special blessing simply because it was the children of Israel. We see Jesus blessing the centurion's servant because he blessed and honored Israel. So again, you know, there was a special blessing there by healing his servant and whatever. Zechariah 8:23, during the millennial kingdom, it says that Gentiles are going to be grabbing the robe of Jews, wanting to go with them to worship the Lord because they've heard that God is with them. So you're going to see they realize there's a special blessing by being with the Jewish people and standing with the Jewish people, and they'll receive that special blessing during the millennial kingdom. I think the one that's the most exciting to me about the potential for special blessing right now in standing with the nation of Israel is what we see in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius, because Cornelius was a Gentile who honored God by giving the Jewish people alms, standing with the Jewish people as a nation when the Rome was against them and when the Jews were against, the believers and the Christians. Although he was standing with the Jewish people, he didn't even know about the church yet because he wasn't saved till after Acts 10. But because of this, it says that because he stood with the nation of Israel, because he gave alms to the nation of Israel, God sent a special blessing of an angel to come and talk to him. And get this, And he had Peter, one of the first apostles, come to his house. And by the way, it was the first outpouring we see of the Holy Spirit on Gentiles in the whole Bible. It, they call it today the Gentile Pentecost. You had the Jewish Pentecost back in Acts 2. Now you have the Gentile Pentecost in Acts chapter 10. And every bit of that came as a special blessing because a Gentile stood specially and blessed the nation of Israel. So I know I gave you way more than you need, but I just wanted, since you asked, I thought, man, I'm just going to pour it out there because there's so much in the scripture about it.
Yeah, clearly we are encouraged to be blessed.
Yes.
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 All right, well, if you've got a question like Will or Laura or Vincent, just visit thewaymedia.net, click Signs of the Times, and you'll see how you can submit your prophecy question to Pastor Mark. All right, let's take a look at a couple of stories regarding growing anti-Semitism, or to put it in street lingo, Jew hate. This first one comes from the Jerusalem Post, dated March 18th. Cincinnati, there were banners hanging in the city of Cincinnati calling to save Israel, or save Ireland, rather, from the Jews, which I think is very interesting because you, the previous article with President Biden was meeting with the Prime Minister
of
Ireland.
Yes, and anyway. also, Greg, right now you've got a huge influx of the Muslim population coming into Ireland, and the Irish people are afraid they're being taken over. They're fighting against it. So now you're seeing the promotion of making it look like somehow the Jews are the problem. No, the problem is all the Muslim population coming and trying to drive them out. Banners calling to save Ireland from the Jews. We're hung over Cincinnati, Ohio overpass on Sunday, an American Jewish organization reported. By the way, they just elected an official in Ohio, a Somali official who's a Muslim, who gave his entire acceptance speech in Arabic.
In Arabic.
He didn't speak,
how about
he
that?
He spoke zero English.
Wow.
Zero. This is in America. It goes on.
Oh, boy.
The Jewish Federation of Cincinnati said, and by the way, which tells me, look, guys, if you don't stand up now to fight for your country, to keep it America,
be too late.
It's going to be too late. Everybody was quiet in World War II till it was too late. The Jewish Federation of Cincinnati said that banners were suspended from pedestrian bridges near downtown Cincinnati. And I quote, "We immediately coordinated with our security arm, Safe Cincinnati, law enforcement, and local elected officials to ensure that the banners were removed without delay, and they were," the Federation said on social media on Sunday. "Although the banners are gone, they are a sad reminder of the current prevalence of anti-Semitism and our need to remain vigilant. However, we have not identified any further threats of anti-Semitism activity related to this incident." So again, you're seeing it happen everywhere. Look, it's happening now in America. This is all over. And it's not about, look, God love, I want to just state this clearly, because I know that believer and unbeliever listens to this radio show. God loves everyone. God loves the Muslim. God loves the people in Gaza. God loves the Jew. God loves the Gentile. God loves everybody on the planet. God loves the Somalis. Jesus Christ died so that everyone could be saved and go to heaven. That is not the issue. It's not about not loving people. It's not about not having the opportunity to be saved. It's about dealing with those that are doing wickedly, as the Bible says, and shutting it down. And that's what we need to wake up to that and be awake, or we're going to find ourselves in big trouble.
Okay, Pastor Mark, our next article comes from Breitbart.com, dated March 21st. London, the most anti-Semitic as Islamists and left join forces. Israel is warning about this new friendship.
You know, Greg, there was a movie, I think, a few years back called London Has Fallen, and it had nothing to do with this, but I could almost say today, London has fallen. It is really, again, one of the most dangerous places for Jews in the world. It's unbelievable this has happened in London. Anti-Semitism in Europe cities is reaching 1930s levels. Again, this is pre-World War II stuff, guys.
Yeah, it is.
We better wake up. The same spirit, look, the same spirit that moved right before Hitler is the same spirit now. It is. It wasn't Hitler. It wasn't the German people. It is higher principle. And powers. They're trying again. You can see the enemy trying to put the Antichrist in place. The question is God going to let it happen this time, or is God going to push this back and intervene? The restrainer, it tells us, remembering scripture, is holding everything back. And I don't know if God's going to keep restraining or not, but look at this. It's reaching 1930 levels in London and is worst of them all. And Israeli, is worst of them all. And Israeli government minister says, warning of mass migration, radicalization, and the hard left coming together and serious consequences of inaction. The growth of anti-Semitism in Britain is terrifying, says Israeli government figure Amichai Hechili, who warns freedom of speech is being extinguished in the old beacon of light and democracy. Wokeism infected London. It's now the most anti-Semitic place in the West. The diaspora and the anti-Semitic minister said, counseling the United Kingdom and other Western nations to take another look at their open border policies and soft touch approach toward extremism. In other words, they're saying, look, we opened our borders and we said, look, everybody come in. We want to love everybody and be everybody's friend. And then we let the snake in. And everybody's not a snake. I'm not saying that. I always feel like I have to qualify that. Everybody coming across illegally across our border is not a bad person. Everybody coming in other countries, they're not bad people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are some snakes among them. And if you just open the doors and allow all breeds of snake, you know, all kinds to come in, there's going to be some that are poisonous. And now London has let so many in, they've been taken over, and they're going to, it's killing them as a nation. And they call it Londinistan, and it is. It's going to eventually be, it's controlled by Islam, and it's going to be, again, this kind of takeover, if you will. The West needs to wake up unless you want to start wearing a hijab. And being forced to pray five times a day, because that's what's happening.
Yeah. Wow. All right, that's the perfect segue to come into pestilence, plagues, disasters, and lots of corruption. This time we're looking at a food issue. This is from Reuters, dated March 15th. The United Nations warns of a catastrophic hunger going on in Sudan, or will go on in Sudan, in the coming months. I'm not too sure how they predict all of this, but nevertheless, this is the story.
Yeah, well, again, you kind of can predict by what's happening. Nearly 5 million people in Sudan could suffer, it says, that catastrophic hunger, like you said, in parts of the war-torn country in coming months. Griffith said the acute levels of hunger were being driven by the severe impact of conflict of agricultural production, damage to major infrastructure and livelihoods, disruptions to trade flows, severe price increases, impediments to humanitarian access, and large-scale displacement. And I quote, without urgent humanitarian assistance and access to basic commodities, almost 5 million people could slip into catastrophic food insecurity in some parts of the country, Griffith wrote. Now, again, Matthew 24 talks about famines in the last days. But Greg, the amazing thing to me is that you see them, because the agricultural production is not good, people are starving, and we have people in the world today trying to shut down farms. I just saw that more small farms were shut down in Oregon just this week. They're shutting down farms. Listen, hello, farms is where we get food. Farms equal food. Let's just say it again. Farms equal food. Why are we shutting down farms? If I didn't know better, I would think it was on purpose.
Sorry.
Dramatic pause. We need to wake up and fight for our farmers and keep farms open. Cows are not hurting the environment. They're a gift of God to bring us food. And so this is, it's no wonder they're, and you know, Greg talked about famines all over the world in Matthew 24 in the last days. Part of it is because of the foolishness of these kind of things and shutting down. Now, I'm not saying that's happening here in Sudan. They simply don't have it working over there because of your weather and all that. But I'm saying where you can grow farms and can have it, it should be going gangbusters, not only that we're provided here in America, but that we can provide Sudan and other places with the food they need.
Make no mistake about this. Go into your Bible, open John chapter 10, and read the very words of Jesus. Not a politician, not an opinion maker, from Jesus himself. He said the enemy comes for three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Yeah.
I do not care what excuse anyone uses for shutting down a food source when God says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. God is in the business of life, creating life, diversity of life,
that's right,
sustaining life, taking away a food source that we know, because we're still living, is vital to our livelihood, to our living and breathing, is the agenda of the enemy. It's to steal, to kill, and destroy. And I don't care what excuse any kind of political activist or environmentalist uses. The earth is for us.
That's right. That's
God
right.
gave it to us.
Yeah.
Don't buy the lie.
And the difference is God loves people and the environmentalist loves the earth.
Exactly.
Now, both, you don't have to kill people to love the earth. You can take care of the earth and keep people
exactly.
alive. But,
the
difference is they don't care if people die of what they believe is saving the earth. And it's not saving the earth by what they're doing. God is the one who saves the earth. The Bible says in Colossians, Jesus created all things, and he holds all things together by his power. And so God gave mankind the earth. God is going to use the earth to supply mankind. We're going to be fine. We don't have to shoot things out in the atmosphere to block the sun like Bill Gates is talking about doing, or governments. We don't have to like try to shut down whatever, so that animals aren't just living like normal animals and whatever. Jesus is running the show. Everyone relax. Let God be God. We are not God. And so anyway, great point, Greg. And I agree with it wholeheartedly.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's one thing that you've agreed with me on.
This oh, no, I'm,
no I'm, just, I'm just teasing.
Come on.
Just teasing. Joking. We got to end.
Last article. Now what are we going to do in 12 minutes?
Well, you know, I don't know. But
we're talkers. God, we'll figure it out.
The Holy Spirit will produce this episode.
Yes, he will.
All right. This is from All Israel News, dated March 3rd. Evangelicals emerge as Israel's best friend during the October 7th war. We can say, yes, this is true.
Yes, and this is definitely a discussion point. I want to read this, and then I'll share some other things going on right now with the evangelical community and the nation of Israel. Evangelical Christians have historically stood by Israel as some of the most ardent supporters of the Jewish people and the Jewish state. Since the war broke out with Hamas in the invasion of October 7th, many evangelicals have participated in solidarity tours to the nation's southern communities, met with families of hostages, and raised funds for humanitarian relief efforts. As global support for Israel appears to be dwindling, the longer the war goes on, evangelicals continue to jump to defend the country's cause in a war that it didn't start. They're making moral, material, and spiritual differences on the ground, spreading influence that spans from the media outlets to political circles. And Greg, the people of Israel are noticing it. And the Jewish community is noticing it. They listen, it's one thing to say, we love you, but you've got to prove it. If somebody really loves you, they're going to take action to do that. They're going to stand with you. They're going to help you, not just in words. They're going to financially help you and all these things. And what's happening is, The true evangelical community around the world is doing that for the nation of Israel, and they're recognizing it. And what I love is they're seeing who their real friends are. I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of the Israelis have thought certain people were their friends, and they're finding out now, no, they're really not our friends. You know, you got to find out who your real friends are. I mean, even some of the Jewish population in America are standing against their own people, as we talked about earlier. So they know who their friends are, and truly we are friends, and we're proving it in our actions. We love them, and we're following through financially and in every other way to support them. And I was just watching a program today talking about those that are going to Israel and the attitude that the Israelis have toward the evangelicals over there. They are so thankful and so appreciative. A little bit of history for our listeners. I'm kind of glad we have a second because this is a great moment to share a little bit of history. Look, the Jewish people have not always trusted the Christian, and rightly so. And let me explain why. And I should say the Christian in name. The Jews have not always trusted the Christian in name. They can always trust and always should have been able to trust the true Christian. But the Christian in name, they couldn't always trust. And what do I mean? The Catholic Church, for many, many years and centuries, has been one of the worst persecutors of the Jew in the world. They were very abusive to the Jews during the Inquisitions, trying to get them to convert to Christianity. They've been abusive to the Jews in the Holy Land, you know, in the land of Israel, etc. And because of that, Greg, and I can remember even, you know, going, you know, over 30 years ago, the first trip to Israel, even though they were friendly with Americans, you know, there was still this viewpoint of, well, you guys, the Catholics, we know what Christians are like, and you guys have kind of been mean to us in our history, a little bit of a distance there. And what they're learning now, what the new generation is learning, look, we're not the Catholics. I know they were that way. I know they did that to you. We are evangelical Christians, and we love you. And we're here to support you and stand with you. And so they see us very differently than they do now. They used to believe that all Christians were Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's some wonderful Catholics and some saved Catholics. I'm not attacking the Catholic faith here. I'm making a point. Overall, the Catholic movement has been very abusive to the Jews over the centuries. That's just a fact. You can look it up. It's just a historical fact. But the evangelicals now have been kind, giving, loving, supporting, and they see the difference, Greg. They see it. And now it's not so much, yeah, you Christians, or they don't lump us all in the one big, some of the older crowd, I think, still lumps us in the package of Catholics, right? But the new generation, no. They see that, but they see these are the evangelicals. They love us. They stand with us. They're supporting us. And it's because we do. And why do we love them and support them? Again, Genesis 12:3, like we talked about, because God commands us to. But here's what the Bible says. Although they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior yet, the Bible says in the last days, God will pour out His Spirit on the nation of Israel after He regathers them, and that regathering started in 1948, and God will open their eyes, and they will see indeed that Jesus is their Messiah. So there's going to be immediately 144,000 saved, the prophecies tell us, and then many others after that. And so, Greg, they're going to recognize that we recognize they are future family. They are brothers and sisters in the future. In Christ. And that's what I've said before. It's not that we stand with them because they're perfect and everything they do is right. And there's no such thing as a perfect person or perfect nation. All people and nations do things that are wrong from time to time and make mistakes. But they are future family in the Lord. And so because of that, we invest in them and stand with them, knowing prophetically what the outcome is going to be.
And it's also good to remember as Christians, and Paul really warns of this and really rebukes the church to that the reason why that they can even come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ was because of the hard-heartedness of the Jews.
Yeah.
And God opened up the ability for the Gentiles to receive salvation in Christ because of the Jews. So we owe, in a weird sort of way, we owe a debt of gratitude because of that that opened the door for us. So that's why we have to look at the Jews the way Paul instructs us to, is that, hey, don't think that you're better than them.
Yeah.
You've been adopted as a result of this.
Well, we were grafted in.
Yes, grafted in.
They are the root system, Greg.
Yes.
You know, what a beautiful picture of the olive trees. You know, they cut them down, but those roots stayed. Roots that go back to the days of Christ are still there on the Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
Because although they were cut down by the invading Roman army, they've grown back. And some of them now are like 1700 years old over there, 1800 years old, and all gnarly and really cool looking. But again, the root system was in place. Okay. The Jews are the root system to the promise of God to this earth. It was through Abraham, through the line of Jacob, that he promised he would bless the entire world, right? And so there's the root system. Right now, the Jews have decided they've been blinded and they've rejected their Messiah. They've been cut off temporarily, Paul said, but they're going to now be regrown in the last days. Their eyes are going to be open. They'll sprout new leaves and new life. We now have been grafted in, which, by the way, is kind of neat. You can actually graft into olive tree very easily. And I was noticing some of the in the Mount of Olives last time we were there, you saw some new branches that kind of looked funny that were in them growing different kinds of olives. And they said, yeah, that's where they brought in other olive trees and grafted them into those. And then they're growing.
Interesting. What a picture.
Oh, yes.
And they don't even know.
No, but we now are that picture.
Yes.
We are those that have been grafted in that are now standing with God and the nation of Israel. And then when the root system comes back underneath and supports, we're going to be one big happy family tree following Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And again, where he rules and reigns for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. And again, it's going to be a glorious, glorious time. And I'll go back to that. Those who understand this and stand with Israel, I believe, will receive special blessing for doing so. And I think even for standing with them in this day, as we noted by all those other scriptures and what we talked about earlier, I do believe there's a special reward because there's many people that are not standing with them. And I think you're missing out. So again, it's exciting to watch what God's doing in the last days.
You know, and also something to bring in as a point of emphasis, that it's not about the Jew. It's about God decided to pick a people group to carry the law and to carry the Redeemer for the entire world.
That's right.
He could have picked the French some other people group that existed at that time. It really doesn't matter the group. It matters God's promise and God's instruction to us that we have to obey.
Yeah.
And so we got to get our eyes off the people group and get our eyes on the Lord.
And he found a friend he could trust in Abraham.
In Abraham.
Abraham was a man with a great heart, and he loved God, and God loved him. So he chose, I'm going to let you be the one that brings it in. By the way, now that you've made that so clear, Greg, now you see why the nation of Israel is so attacked. This is demonic.
Yes, it is.
This is the spiritual powers in heavenly places the Bible talks about. Satan knows that God has chosen Abraham and his descendants through Jacob. So Satan now, in his hatred for God, he's attacking anything that God loves. And so if he attacks the Jewish people and the nation of Israel, then he's winning points. You know, that's what he's trying to do or whatever. And so, again, that's why you see such hatred toward the Jewish people and toward the nation of Israel in the midst of this. And so I encourage you out there, look, again, stand with the nation of Israel. And I encourage the fellowship, the churches here in Knoxville and across the United States and around the world, stand with the nation of Israel. You're standing with future brothers and sisters. And it's more than that. It's not that they're, as we said, that they're perfect and they never do anything wrong. That's not why we stand with them. We stand with them because God asked us to. God commanded us to. And if we're going to be obedient, he said, I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who curse. Number one, you should want a blessing. But number two, God, you know, tells us that we need to stand with them because he's going to bring them back into the fold in the last days. And we're going to be one big happy family. How wonderful it's going to be for those who stand with them and recognize that.
And how hypocritical for us as Christians to deny Israel the blessing that God says that they are to have when we ourselves desire to be blessed by God.
That's right.
And are we any less sinful than the Jew?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We're not.
Yeah. So again, you know, I just encourage, you know, you to heed the word of God.
Yeah.
Stand with the nation of Israel. Don't base it on the Rothschilds or anybody in the past you feel that have done something wrong. That's not what this is about. This is about obedience to God and not whether or not they've been perfect or done anything wrong. It is simply obedience to God and doing what he said to do. And by the way, as we head now into Palm Sunday, where Jesus yes. rode in, declaring himself the King of Israel, and presenting the Messiah to the people, maybe Jesus is presenting you as your Messiah right now. Maybe he's riding into your heart. Right now, we've been talking about it, and you're realizing, you know what? I recognize that I need God. And the Bible says that 2,000 years ago, Jesus rode in on Passover, but it was a week later he died, 4 days later, rather, on Passover, he died after he rode in. And his blood now washes away all sins. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible tells us. And yet his blood cleanses us so we can go to heaven. So whether you believe it or not or know it, you have sin on you. Jesus' blood washes it away. You simply ask him to forgive you. By that blood, that sacrifice, confess your sin, turn from your sin, turn to Jesus Christ, accept him as your Lord and as your Savior and your Messiah. And the Bible says you will be born again and have your place in the kingdom of God. And I invite you to do that right now. Jesus is waiting.
Pastor Mark, thank you again, as always, so much for enlightening us with what is going on in the world's news and the Word of God. And thank you, folks, for listening. Don't forget, thewaymedia.net not only offers you Signs of the Times, but Pastor Mark's daily radio program, Come to the Table, our 24-hour radio station where you can get over 20 different pastors and teachers on WIAM and the ever-growing library from the teachings from the pulpit of Calvary Knoxville. We love you guys. Have a great weekend in Palm Sunday, and we'll see you back next Friday for more Signs of the Times.